ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरां चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नस्तु प्रायेषु अपद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी.
This morning we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 12, entitled Rahugna Converses with Judd Bharat, text number 12. It's not possible for you to sit. Yeah. You've heard the Japa tape, Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Sit properly. You heard that? It was the same thing. So, translation. My dear King Rahugna, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, or strictly following the rules and regulations of householder life, leaving home as a vanaprastha, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water, or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Purport. Actual knowledge of transcendental bliss can be bestowed upon anyone by a pure devotee. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau. One cannot attain the perfection of spiritual life simply by following the directions of the Vedas. One has to approach a pure devotee. Anya vilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam. By the grace of such a devotee, one can understand the absolute truth, Sri Krishna, and one's relationship with him. A materialistic person sometimes thinks that simply by executing pious activities and remaining at home, one can understand the absolute truth. That is denied in this verse. Nor can one understand the absolute truth simply by observing the rules and regulations. One only has to serve the pure devotee. That will help one understand the absolute truth without fail. So, maybe the Christians are right after all. All you have to do is accept the blood of a pure devotee and bathe in the blood, and you can do anything you like, doesn't matter. What do you think? Is that what this verse is saying?
Just dust.
Hmm?
Just dust.
Not blood, dust. Yes. Vina means without. Actually, what is the translation here? Without, yes. Vina mahat pada rajobhishekam. one must perform abhishek of himself. But with the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna's pure devotee. So the point really being made here is that devotional service is not some mechanical thing. It is not something that you chant 3 million Gayatri mantras and all of a sudden you're imbued with bhakti. You chant 16 rounds for 73 years and pure devotion immediately takes place in your heart. In fact, we know that bahu janma kari yadi shravana kirtana tavuta na pai krishna pade premadana. You can go on chanting the holy name for millions of years and not make any progress if one is infested with the 10 offenses against the holy name. So there is no mechanical method to invoke love of God. Ultimately, everything depends upon the Lord's blessing, the Lord's mercy. He is completely free to do anything that he wants to do. And in fact, the pure devotee prays like that, that my dear Lord, you can pick me up or you can trample me down with your feet. Of course, that would be wonderful. Then you really get the lotus dust if he tramples you down with his feet. But practically speaking, the devotee does not expect that the Lord will simply give him an easy time, because all of us, we must know it, that if we look a little closely, our hearts are contaminated with so many layers of dirt, of lust, anger, and greed. So these are described as the three gates leading not to Krishna's lotus feet, but trividam narakasyedam dvaram nashanam atmana. These are the three gates leading down to hell. Kama lobas tata krodas tasmat etat trayam tyajat. These are the three gates leading down to hell, and an intelligent man will reject them, tyaja, will renounce them, give up lust, anger, and greed, and hear, constantly hear. That's the remedy that we heard yesterday in the verse from the Bhagavatam. Constantly hearing, sravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam. But because we're so contaminated, polluted, because we're habituated to sinful life for so many brahmanda brahmite, because we've been wandering throughout the universe, taking one body after another and engaging in puna punas charvita charvananam, Adanta gobir vishatata misram punapunas charvita charvananam. In the modes of ignorance and passion, we have simply been chewing the chewed, engaging in sex life or sinful eating habits or irregular sleeping, etc. Everything we have been doing in one body after another. And now we're very much attached. The knot of affection in the heart is very tightly bound. So the only remedial measure now, the only real thing that will save us is Mahatsevam, the service of the pure devotees. Mahat Sevam Dvara Mahur Vimuktes. This opens up the door to liberation. Because Krishna is, practically speaking, he is the servant of his pure devotees. He is so much in love or attracted by the love of his pure devotees that whatever they desire, he automatically fulfills. And if by some good luck, if we are able to get the favor of Krishna's pure devotees, then Krishna will bless us. Actually, Krishna doesn't see us because we're filled with challenging desires. We're not Krishna's devotees. We want to enjoy, even despite the fact that we know Krishna is present everywhere. We know Krishna is present in his photo, and yet still, right in front of his photo, we'll commit some sinful activity. This is especially true of householders who will think that by retiring to their house in the seclusion of their house, they can commit so many sinful activities and Krishna won't see. Just like the example of Diti. She became filled up with lusty desires and practically attacked her husband, and she didn't care for the fact that she would be observed by not only Lord Krishna, but the different demigods also. Because our perception, our limited sense perception, we cannot accommodate the fact that other living beings, especially the Lord, his eyes and ears are everywhere. Even the demigods have a greater vision than we have. They can see what is going on. So if we break the laws of God, then we'll definitely be punished. There's no question of escaping the laws of God. You may escape the police force in Copenhagen. You may escape the material laws. You may be able to break those laws. But if you break the laws of God, there's definitely going to be a reaction. So there's no external mechanical thing. Even here, it is mentioned, even in the renounced order, even practicing celibacy, we're so proud sometimes of our celibacy. And in fact, Prabhupada did say that if one can practice celibacy, then 50% of the battle is won. But it's that last 1%. In other words, it's the love that yome bhakta prayachati. He doesn't care for your patram pushpam palam toyam. He doesn't care for a huge feast. He doesn't care for anything you can offer him. Your celibacy, your austerities, all of your work. He doesn't need any of it. If whatever you do, if it doesn't culminate in a few tears of repentance for the millions of years that you have rejected Krishna, if it doesn't result in a few tears of ecstasy when you think of the wonderful pastimes of the Lord and how kind he is to the conditioned souls to come here and manifest his pastimes for us. Even though we're so belligerent, we were talking about this the other day, belligerent to the point that there's a law. I remember my father not almost, but as a teenager, I was such a terror that he threatened one time to take me to the police and have me declared incorrigible. You can do that. You can, parents can take their teenage children and hand them over to the police and say, I can't manage this fellow. He's incorrigible. And the police will take custody. So we're like that with Krishna. We're incorrigible. We won't surrender. I won't surrender to Krishna. I won't. Even though everyone knows in their heart of hearts that they must surrender to God. But the desire for independent enjoyment is so strong that foolishly we lose the valuable opportunity. Human form of life, it's so important. We have the faculty. We have the power of discrimination. The scriptures are there. Everything we need to regain our spiritual life is there. But being mandabhagya, being very unfortunate, very unlucky, troubled by so much bad karma, very short duration of life, few years actually, very short, time flies away. Tempus fugit. Even the Romans knew it. Everybody knows it. Still, we think, we make a bad bargain, we trade off that I will avoid Krishna and I will get sense gratification. That is simply mudha consciousness, donkey consciousness. We don't exhibit, we neglect our real self-interest, which is service to the Lord. If you want to be happy yourself, if you really are selfish, then be selfish about your spiritual life, not material life. There's no scope for material life. It's obviously, even if you become the president of the United States, even if you become the world's wealthiest person, even if you have the most friends or you engage in all kinds of sense gratificatory activities. Whatever it is, it's going to end very quickly. It will end. And you're left with nothing, only a bewilderment at the time of death. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram. And if you think like an animal, if you act like an animal, if you don't serve Krishna, then you're acting like an animal. There's only two things. There's Krishna and Maya. So if you don't serve Krishna, then you have to be engaged like an animal. Human life is meant for elevation now. You have the opportunity. Udared atmanatmanam, natmanam avashadayat. Admaiva hi atmano bandur atmaiva ripur atmana. Your mind is meant, the human mind is capable of elevating your consciousness. You can use your mind for elevation. You've been given the opportunity. But Krishna also gives you the opportunity to use the same mind to degrade yourself, to go deeper and deeper into the dregs, into the quagmire, into the sewer, into the lower modes. Adoga chanti tamasa. It depends on you. Everything depends on you. Whatever you want, it's up to you. Yeyata mam prapadyante tangstatayava bhajami am mama vartmanu vartante. Krishna says, everyone follows my path. Everyone's under my control. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Everyone is controlled by material nature, the modes of nature, sattvas, rajas, tamagun, nobody can escape. Duratyaya. The modes of material nature are very strong. Mama maya. Duratyaya. It is Krishna's energy. You are not greater than Krishna. You are very small. You should realize it. You can see it all around you. We're simply being tossed like a blade of grass in the waves of the ocean. Miche mayara boshe yachaveshe kachahavuduvai. We're just like a blade of grass being tossed about this way and that way. At any moment, you could be kicked out from this body. You have no guarantee that you can last even for another hour. You can be kicked out. Anything can happen. Your karma, you don't know what's going to be dealt up to you. Just like the card dealer, you don't know which cards are coming up. You can get dealt out a severe blow at any minute. Someone was telling me the other day, just recently, one devotee, nice devotee, good, young, gentle, innocent devotee, lost his body. Are we prepared? Are we prepared to give up our bodies? At any moment it could happen. So we have to take advantage of the time we've been allotted. We should not be idle, but every moment must be engaged in pursuing the highest truth. Yova ithad aksharam agargi avidit vashmal lokat praiti sa brahmana. A brahmana uses every moment, every opportunity to come closer to Krishna. That's swargatim, Vishnu. That's your self-interest. But if you don't, then kripana, the opposite of brahmana, is kripana, miserly person. And you'll get the result. Urdvam gacchanti sattvasta madhye tishtanti rajasa jagunya guna vritista dogacchanti tamasa. According to how you act, you'll go in that direction. If in the modes of goodness we engage in devotional service, then we'll actually get real knowledge and surrender to Krishna. And if we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will bestow his mercy upon us. He's promised that. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami mashucha. Don't worry, you don't need to worry. Although there's danger at every step, although you're completely on your own, but Krishna says if you surrender to me, you don't need to worry, I will protect you. You will get liberation. You will come back to me. Mamu petye tu kontaya punar janma navidite. You won't have to take birth in the material world again. But if you don't become serious about executing the process of devotional service, then why should Krishna be merciful to you? Why should he even notice you? We're so insignificant. And yet, once a devotee came to Prabhupada, quite a famous fellow. Anyway, he was very boldly, not boldly, I mean, that's his nature, but he was saying, "Oh, Prabhupada, I'm so fallen. I'm so fallen, Srila Prabhupada, I'm so fallen. I'm the most fallen." Prabhupada looked at him and said, "You're not the most of anything. You're simply insignificant." So that's our condition. At least if we were the most fallen, we could accept Lord Chaitanya's mercy. But we're just insignificant. So we really have to learn to take this as our life's mission. This process, it's simultaneously easy and sublime. It is the perfection of religion. It is the goal of life. Vasudeva paraveda, Vasudeva paramaka, Vasudeva param jnanam, Vasudeva paro dharmo, Vasudeva paragati. All of your activities are meant for achieving Krishna. Bhoktaramya Gitapasam. Everything. He is Bhokta. So you're on the right track. The scriptures are perfect. Everything is very nice. As best as you can get anywhere in the universe. You can't find a better program. You may find faults everywhere, but you won't find anything better than what is coming down through our Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. You can find faults everywhere. If you want to use your intelligence to be negative, then you can be eternally negative. You won't find anything to be positive about. But if you want to go back to Godhead, if you've made that decision, if in your heart you realize that it's time now to turn towards the Lord, then here's the facility. Take advantage of it. And Krishna's pure devotee will come to you in so many ways, through so many avenues, if you're ready to receive him. Just like Prabhupada once said that Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji. He's not a poor man. Krishna owns everything. So he can give us any amount of money for doing our work, but he wants to see whether we're prepared to manage it properly. He can send any amount of Lakshmi. At any moment, any millionaire's daughter could walk in the room and, you know, surrender and give all the money, or anything could happen. We've seen it happen so many times before. Similarly, His Divine Grace once lamented. He said, conquering this material world is not difficult. I can conquer the material world, this earth planet. I can conquer all these in 18 days. Just like Arjuna won the battle of Kurukshetra in 18 days. He said, but my disciples, they have to surrender, become my instruments. So Krishna is all powerful. Even though we're so contaminated, even though we're so dirty, unclean, but if we try sincerely, if we simply try sincerely and use our intelligence, Prabhupada asked a disciple, what is the qualification for becoming Krishna conscious? The disciple answered, sincerity. Prabhupada said, no, sincerity and intelligence. So, use your good intelligence, become enthusiastic, don't waste time, hear the instructions of Krishna's pure devotee, become a servant. There's no loss in being humble in this world. Being gentle. There's no loss. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. God is there. If you want God to talk to you, if you want to see him, if you want to realize him, then become a humble devotee. No one will be able to touch you. You will become so powerful by becoming so humble and gentle. There's no harm. So become a gentle devotee and try to get the dust of Krishna's pure devotees. Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha. We have many, many gurus, practically. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Naham vipro na cha naramatir. He explained, I am not a brahmana, vipra. I am not a kshatriya. I'm not a vaishya. I'm not a grihastha. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not a sannyasi. Oh, what you are. He said, I am simply Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasanu Dasa. I'm the servant of the servant, thousand times removed. I'm the servant of Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis. So if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is professing himself to be a servant, then who are we? We can only hope to someday become qualified to be the foot bather, the anything, the lowest servant of Krishna's pure devotees. So we have to develop this. So we have to develop this mentality. You cannot enter the kingdom of God in an arrogant mood. So you have to practice now. This is sadhaka. Sadhaka means bhakti in sheerly in practice. In practice. So whatever we do, if it helps us to become soft and gentle and humble, serving the Vaishnavas, one may think, why should I serve that guy? He's no better than me. A few months ago, a few years ago, we were all on the other side of the track smoking this and that and doing this and that together. So why should I serve any of these guys? Anybody. I'll just look for Krishna. No, that is Kanista Adhikari. You don't understand the process. You deal with yourself. Don't look to others. Look to yourself. See how you are becoming a better devotee. And adopt whatever means you need. Whatever is practical. Whatever helps you to advance. Take it. We have been given a science. It's not for some material thing. It's to help us develop the right mood. It's all about mood, presence, seeing Krishna, his presence, and having the right loving attitude. You cannot get Krishna's audience unless you have the right attitude of unalloyed surrender. So that's what we're doing here. And it's very simple. So are there any questions or comments? Yes.
You were giving this story with the rabbi yesterday?
Yeah.
So could one say that the examples where there's quacks, where there's not really devotees coming, that's because there's not really good sadhusanga, not good association?
You could say that. We should think like that. The devotee always thinks that he's not doing enough to please his spiritual master. He's not doing enough to attract people. He tatute nukampam susamikshamana bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. The devotee thinks that whatever happens to him, whatever bad things happen to him, it is his own fault. He doesn't blame it on anyone else, but he thinks it is bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Because of my purva karma, my past sinful activities, these mistakes have come about. These things are happening to me. And he thinks, obviously, if we're... On the one hand, we should know, we should be unattached to the results. We try. But on the other side, it's certainly, even if it's not true, it's better to always be thinking, how can I improve my service? So if my service is not getting the result, if somehow or other we're not attracting the public, and it facilitates our becoming more effective to think that it's because we're not good enough devotees, sure, why not? I think there's no scope for, I mean, the scope is unlimited for becoming a better devotee, becoming a more kind and gentle and loving devotee. We ought to look into our hearts. It's a real thing, you know. The devotee's heart is, Prabhupada's compassion was unlimited. And I don't mean it just in a spiritual sense that he was giving his books and that's all he felt. I've done my job, I've given my books. Prabhupada felt real compassion, and one example I always quote is the example of the beginning of Food for Life program. You know that story? In India, they had just finished the Mayapur building, and the first building, and Prabhupada was standing on the balcony with some of his disciples, and they heard a commotion. They heard some barking of dogs and some squealing, screaming. And so Prabhupada walked to the edge of the balcony at the, you can say, the eastern end of the building. And he looked over the balcony and he down into a garbage pit. There was a garbage pit there. And there were two dogs fighting with a little Bengali girl who was skinny little girl in dirty old clothes, torn clothes, and she was fighting over a piece of food with some dogs. And Prabhupada looked at the scene and he began to cry. Tears came from his eyes and he turned to the devotees. He said, no one should go hungry within 10 miles of the temple. So he had real compassion for people suffering. So we should also feel compassion for people suffering. We should feel ourselves very fallen in front of our God brothers. It helps. It helps you not only to develop, to attract Krishna's mercy when you become a gentle soul, but it helps you, of course, obviously, by attracting Krishna's mercy, you become more free from anxiety, free from pain, free from suffering yourself. It's a very interesting phenomenon. Bhakti Vedanta. Knowledge and devotion, emotion. Devotee knows how to act perfectly in all circumstances. He knows how to act within household life, how to feel affection for his children, and yet at the same time how not to become attached and entangled. So it's a very, it requires very careful thought, very careful consultation, we require friends, we need close friends, we need good friends in devotional service. So friendship is based upon mutual love and respect. We have to learn to see our God brothers as very nice people, the best people in the world. Devotees, despite whatever shortcomings they may have, even if they only come to us for a short time, but just the fact that they have come for even a short time to try to do a little service to Krishna, it means they're a very rare soul, very great person, to speak of those who become steady in devotional service. Yes?
When did you, Maharaj, first meet Prabhupada?
1970. I joined in 1969, and at that time I went to my hometown after I joined in San Francisco, and then I was Canadian in the USA, so I went back to Canada, and we had a small temple in Vancouver, so I stayed there in the temple because anyway, I had to wait some time. So in June of 1970, there was a big Rath Yatra celebration, and everybody from all over the west coast of the U.S. and Canada went down to San Francisco for the festival. So that time we met him. It was Friday night. It was the first time I had ever seen so many devotees together, because in Vancouver there were only four of us, and we would go on Hari Nam, and one devotee would chant and two would pass out mantra cards, and it was a big temple, and but anyway, it was really quite a thrill for me to see. I'd never seen really any ladies either. There was only, you know. So it was the first time I saw lady devotees. And a big, you know, big community, actually. The whole street where we were on Frederick Street, right in Haight-Ashbury. And up and down the street, everywhere you would walk, there would be devotees. It was quite thrilling for me, and I thought, oh, we're taking over the world. So that night, it was a small temple, a little bit bigger than this, not much bigger, but it was packed with about 200 devotees, and it was wall-to-wall devotees, and Prabhupada was coming at 7 o'clock for class. He had come to San Francisco, and he was coming for the class, and we were all, you know, everybody, in those days we were really jacked up as far as, you know, hype. Prabhu, you've been traveling in the material world for millions of lifetimes, and now you're getting the chance to meet Krishna's pure devotee. So I was pretty fired up, anticipating. We all were. And so then someone came in and announced, Prabhupada's coming, Prabhupada's coming. And the kirtan built up to a real crescendo, and, you know, it was really getting intense, you know, when you get in a small room and many people are chanting, and how the vibrations just shake the walls. So then all of a sudden the door opened, and this little delicate, beautiful old man, you know, walked in the door, and everybody just fell flat on the floor, and I looked at Prabhupada, and it really, you know, it was just a beautiful thing. He was walking into the room, but there was a bubble around him, and he was not in the room, he was not in the world. He was protected by this bubble, and everybody fell down to offer obeisances, and I was crying, and I could hear others around me crying also. And I just felt for a moment or two, my heart felt so clean, almost like he reached out and touched me. And it was such a nice feeling, I'll never forget it. And then we sat up, and then Prabhupada walked to the Vyasasan and got up on the Vyasasan, and then he began to speak, and he coughed, and then he forgot one verse, and then I completely began to have doubts. Oh, he made a mistake. And then everything disappeared, everything, the whole feeling, it just all collapsed. So, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Your eyes have to be anointed with the salve of love before you can see Krishna. Faith. Vedeshu durlabham, adurlabham atma bhaktav. Krishna is easy to see for his devotee, but he's impossible to see for someone who wants to challenge him. If you've decided that you're going to be Krishna's devotee, first of all, check everything out. Don't make rash decisions. Then if you've decided that you want to be a servant of God, there's only four possibilities. This is called Pascal's Gamble. Blaise Pascal. There is God, and you follow his laws, and you benefit. There is God, and you don't follow his laws, you're in hot soup. There's no God, but you follow a religious life and you're peaceful and happy. There's no God, and...